I'm the sinister, Mr. Kiss, my ass is just a renegade. Never been afraid to say what's on my mind at any given time of day, cause I'm a renegade. Never been afraid to talk about anything,
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 anything.
Renegade.
Never been afraid to say what's on my mind at any given time of day, cause I'm a renegade. Never been afraid.
Welcome to the T Podcast, the podcast about anything and everything from the perspective of one man, and that man is me, T, from good old Boston, Massachusetts. It is Tuesday, March 12th, 2019. How's everyone doing out there? Today's podcast, I went back into the old archives of tblog.com. I looked in through my volumes and volumes of advice and stories and lessons learned and mistakes. And a couple of features I had on T-Blog back in the day were the bro code. I wrote many chapters of the bro code, which every guy should have a guide, a blueprint, a Bible that gets him through life from childhood, the teen years, 20s, well into your 30s. It's what you need to do when it comes to your career, dating, family, friends, women, travel, money. And then after a while, as I grew, matured, my writing style changed. Some of the things I documented on T-Blog started to change. And with that, it evolved into grown man shit. Grown man shit was the next step. It was the evolution. If you take a look back and see Darwin's evolution of man, the walking man, right? When it goes from a monkey walking, he starts to get upright into a Neanderthal, which evolved later on to man. It's an evolution. Men, we grow, we evolve, we learn, we adapt to our environment. Over time, we become better and better, hopefully, right? Some of us regress, unfortunately. Some of us become lesser men. Some of us make mistakes, and we don't learn from those mistakes. It's okay to make mistakes, as long as you learn from them. And a lot of guys out there don't do that. They don't take a moment to appreciate what they have in life, to pause, to take a look back in the rearview mirror to see how far they've come, right? To see the past in there, not forgetting who they are, not trying to change who they are. I mean, there's some changes they make, but you're trying to become better and better. And one of my mottos that I've embraced over the last 10 years or so was to become a better man every day. The motto still is, to become a better me than the me I was yesterday. Now, I think every man should have that mentality. Don't try to live your life to compete it against the next guy or your neighbor or your friend. Or that guy in the office, that guy in the office with the bigger office, the guy in the office that you believe has a larger salary than you, a larger bonus, a larger house, maybe has a better girlfriend, or has a girlfriend and you don't, maybe has a better wife, has a wife and you don't, maybe has a wife and a mistress. Who gives a fuck? Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that mentality of the grass is always greener. Because he's looking at your life, thinking the same thing. And that envy makes you weak. You know, a lot of this day and age, right? Men, we're getting our asses handed to us. There's a lot of empowerment out there, right? But a guy, a regular guy, a man, a white guy, you know, as much as we've had benefits and perks over the past 50, 100, 200 years, right? Now more than ever, we are under a microscope. We're being scrutinized from every angle. And rightfully so. A lot of us were assholes. A lot of us did some stupid fucking things. And now a lot of the good guys, we're paying for that. So even more so, embrace your manliness. Embrace your masculinity. Embrace that testosterone. Embrace your dick, your balls. your hairy chest, the ability to pound on your chest, the guy that the sex, the species that found fire for the first time. The man, the guy, the being, the former Neanderthal that invented the fucking wheel. That's us, the hunter, right? Some of us hunt, some of us farm. Either way, we contribute. We're needed. That's everything about being a guy. You smell a certain way. You sweat because you're a fucking man. You work out. You have muscles. You lift heavy things. You open fucking jars. Right? Equality. I get it. It's great. It's a good thing. But who do they come to when they need that fucking pickle jar opened? Right? Yeah. Equality. But God forbid you don't open up that door. Give up your seat on the train. Pull out that chair. We're supposed to do that anyway. That's what makes you a fucking man. And with that, the bro code that I wrote identified different areas of my life that later evolved to grown man shit. Now, who I was in my teens, I've said this several times, who I was in my childhood wasn't the guy I was in my teens. Wasn't the kid I was in my teens. Wasn't the guy that I was in my 20s. Later on, in my 30s, I personally, different guys go down different paths to mature at different times, I felt that I really didn't stop maturing, start to peak into my fucking 30s with who I was, being comfortable with who I am in my body, where I come from, that messed up past, the struggles in my earlier days that a lot of people can't comprehend. I don't need them to comprehend. I don't need them to understand. I just need them to respect that if I open up to them, you will respect where I came from. I respect where I came from. And then the guy I am now, in my early 40s, very comfortable with my emotions, my physical being, my look, my feelings, my relationships with my friends, my family. Sensitive when I need to be. Tough when I need to be. That is something that we should all attain to. Again, you have balls. Use them. Know that they're there. And then the bro code. Evolve to grown man shit. Grown man shit, again, is not a competition. I'm not putting my stuff out there. I don't talk to a friend who's married and talk about how I love his house. I wish I had a house like that. I love how he has that relationship with his kids or his wife or how he goes to Disney every fucking year, year in and year out, or that minivan he drives. No, I applaud him because that is the path that he has chosen. I don't envy it. I don't care if he envies my life or not. You can say to me, T, you're with girls half your age. You live in the city. You travel to Europe. You have a great job. You do all these things. You chase your dreams. You go to Hollywood. You write scripts. You write a book. You do a podcast. Whatever. That's great. Maybe he envies me. Maybe he doesn't. But he should, as his fellow man, as his brother in arms, should be happy for me. Applaud. Build each other up. We're not doing that enough anymore. We don't get those types of opportunities anymore because, like I said, we're being scrutinized. We're under a microscope. But make no fucking mistake about it. We eat our steaks. Medium rare to rare. Bloody. That's the hunter in us, right? We love blowjobs. God forbid people talk about that. Women tend to forget that once you get into a serious relationship, get into marriage, right? Not you. I mean, again, look at Robert Kraft, right? We all have needs. The man is a 77-year-old billionaire. Man has needs. We have dreams, goals. We need to be fulfilled. We need to accomplish shit. And with that, I bring you over to one of the most important things to a man. Some deny it. Some don't. Some embrace it. Some have a lot of it. Some don't have much of it. That is money. Way back in November 2011, I sat down and I did one of my chapters of the Bro Code. I did T-Episode 103, the Bro Money Code. You could go to T-Blog. You could read all about it. Yeah, I wrote it almost 8 years ago. There's a beautiful woman on there. cleavage is out. She's got jewelry on. And she's on a layer of $100 bills. Benjamin Franklin's. The Benjamins. And I put a little caption on there. Again, I wrote this in my wise ass days when I was trying to hone into the man I was in my 20s when I wrote this, even though I was in my 30s. But I was capturing that moment in my life where I was coming from. And that caption I wrote underneath her picture was, it cost a lot to get her to pose for that pic. Money, women, power, respect. All the things that most men try to attain. And I always say there's four things on our minds, even back then in the bro code. Even to this day, as you grow man shit, if you read the T episode. Sex, food, sports, and money. That's what guys always think about. We're simple creatures. I said I don't deny that on the T episode. And then I break it down to what men talk about. What bros back then talk about with a fellow bro. And again, I use the word bro a lot because it was the bro code. Each little topic within that chapter, within that volume of the bro money code, I start off with, how much you make, bro? Triple question mark for emphasis. Another topic I get into, if money is owed, you pay it back before you do anything else. Anything else. I repeat myself and I wrote in all caps. When you're writing caps, that means you're serious. You're yelling, right? We all know that. Then I get into gambling amongst guys. Some men love to gamble. I don't. Got that from my father. He's big in gambling. Then I segue over to drinking. Boozing it up. Right? Booze is simple. When it's your round, just pay like a good bro. And don't pull that you'll have a Bud Light shit when it's your round. And the expensive top shelf hard shit when it's not. That is bad boozing, bro. Then I go into the bro with the higher salary does not pay every time. That is a stigma to this day that I see when I do well for myself, that a lot of guys out there think you should pay more for the rounds, right? Pay more for the tickets. They don't offer to throw in for the tickets to the game, to the sporting events. You pay a larger portion of the bill. You pick it up most of the times, right? Ah, those are not good bros. Men don't do that. Not real men. And I get into, it's not about the couple of bucks, it's the principle. When it comes time to pay, regardless of what it is, throw in. Doesn't matter if it's a couple of bucks here and there for the cab. Back then when I wrote it, was the cab, it wasn't Uber, which will go on an app. The tip, the coat check, parking, tolls, ticket broker fee, pay. Just shut up and pay. Money shouldn't come between bros, but neither should being a dick. I said use your dick. I said use your balls, but I didn't say be a dick. And money should never become between two good friends. You should respect the money. You should respect your friend. You should respect the relationship. Then I get into he who sets up couple date night pays the bill. That I agree. You're the one who invited the friend out, the bro out. Maybe they don't want to hang out with you and your girl. You should pay that time. Then the next time they invite you out, the other bro pays. And then, if you get into places a lot, and again, this is way back when I was in my club days, first living in the city, on every list, people let me through the door, knew the doorman, get the doorman $100 for keeping the ice cold, you know, that shit, the bartender for keeping the ice cold, that's from Goodfellas, from Nas. If you get into places a lot, get free drinks a lot, game tickets a lot, on one bro's connections only, you are an asshole, bro. That's right, it works both ways. Whether or not you have the connections or not, you got to respect your friend. Some friends just have it like that. Some don't. Then, if you bring your girl along, then you pay double, dude. What the fuck? If you decided to go out and you brought a date along or just a woman showed up, that means the bill is no longer 50-50 split. That's your luggage, bro. You pay. It's not a double anymore. The guy does not, without the lady, does not throw in half. You're feeding two people. The other guy's feeding just the one that time. And I continue the bro code and so on and so on. I'm not rehashing all that. Those are the early days. A lot of that was a lot of superficial. See how I wrote a lot of that stuff? Those are the roots. Those are the foundations. That was the tree that sprouted into the grown man shit. That was the foundation that built the grown man shit. Now, I don't document my life like that anymore. I don't write like that anymore. Now, this day and age, in my early 40s, I look at things like, investments. I look at my tax returns. I look at whether or not my portfolio is diversified enough, whether I have enough liquid cash, whether I have money in mutual funds, stocks, bonds, annuities, different accounts with different rates. What do I have on a credit card? What's my max credit? One credit card dedicated just to international travel. I look at something also called DTI. What does that stand for? If you don't know, debt to income ratio, which is basically what is my amount that I pay out every month? What are my bills every month as opposed to my gross income? That right there is key. When I sit down and I talk to my oldest niece and I give her advice about money, and then my other niece as well too, she's starting to get to that age. When I talk about that type of stuff, I keep it in terms of a late teenager, early 20s, something would want to know. Or when I talk to my friends, I am in an industry where I learn a lot about money, a lot of opportunity into asset management and finance, but I've always been good with money. I had people in my family that still say, T still has his first communion money. Now, I wasn't cheap. When I was a kid, we didn't have much money. I said that before on the podcast, we didn't have much of anything, so I just saved. I just knew that it wasn't enough, and I wanted more to have a better life. But it wasn't just for me. My goal was the more I made, the more I did for the people I cared about. As I went up, or if I traveled around the world, or if I elevated my career or my education, I took the people I cared about with me. That's what I'm still doing to this day. That may mean I physically take them on a trip, though I get a bigger gift on their birthday. Sometimes I just treat them for a night out in the city. I pick up a meal. I surprise them with a nice gift. I bring over an expensive bottle of alcohol they've never seen. I bring back stuff from my trips without expecting anything in return. And believe me, I never will get 2% of what I give out, and I'm okay with that because it's not about that. I love the small things. Like if you got me a gift card to the movie theater, I don't care if it's one time or 10. If you do that, that means you know I love the movies. There's no price on that. I don't care if it only cost you $20, $30 to $40. That's something I love and you pay attention. If you go ahead and get me a Patriots hat or Patriots slippers, you know I love the Patriots. That means the world to me. If you sit around and say, hey, why don't you just come over for a couple of drinks and hang out with us, with the kids, maybe play a little Uno. That's the stuff that means the world to me. I can't put a price on that. I could put a price on something I bought you. I could put a price on a trip around the world, but I can't put the price on that time or the things that mean something to me that people actually take the time to learn about the fact that it does mean something to me. So when I think about money now, I got to make sure that I'm financially set for myself where I can still do all these things, and I can. I also want to be prepared for when I buy something to either live in or property. I am renting in the city. I love living in the city, but I want to have property, not because everybody says, these are people who don't know much about money. You have to own something. You're going to get killed on your taxes. That person doesn't have a portfolio. That person doesn't know how to invest. That person doesn't know shit about money. They rather have a $700,000 to a $1 million, $1.5 million mortgage and be in debt because they think they're supposed to own a home, because that generation before them, the baby boomers, put it into the Gen Xers and the millennial cuss people that they need to own a home. But they don't realize that home puts them into debt. Then they got to refinance, remortgage the home over and over and over again. And that little starter home, turns out you're there 10, 15, 20 years, maybe life. You don't know much about money. It's okay. You won't admit that. True guys should admit that when they're talking to other guys about that. But everybody wants to say, oh, when you talk about you want to buy something, you want to invest in a property, they'll immediately jump in. Oh, I'm looking to buy something too. And they never make a move. You know what I mean? There are those people out there who sit there and they tell you that they're making X amount of dollars. The ones that willingly give up how much they're making are not making what they're telling you. And even if they are, back to that DTI, they're spending a lot more than they're bringing in. When I have these conversations with people, now let's use a number for example. If you make, I'll go low here, $50,000 a year, but your monthly bills and your mortgage or your rent or your car payment that you don't need, but it's cool to drive around in that leased Mercedes or that BMW or that mortgage of a house and that extra room you don't need just to say you have that extra room, or that pool you barely even use and it costs a lot of money to open it up and fill it up. When you sit there and you try to look at the trips or the amount of money you pay for your kids' private schools or the activities, the drama club, or any hobbies that your wife may have, the arts and crafts, the paint nights that they go to, that $50,000 a year, after taxes, you're bringing in probably $35,000. And say your bills, when you divide that, you know, by 12, you're talking, geez, I don't know, $2,500 a month, $3,000. Let's go $3,000 on the high end. $36,000 taxes, that's $3,000. And then your bills with that mortgage and all those activities comes to $2,700. Now your pocket money is $300 left a month. That means you're not saving jack shit. Now let's up that. Let's up that a little bit more. Say you make $500,000 a year. I guarantee, something I've had on my closest friends a conversation, you will find a way to live to your salary. Whether it's $50,000 a year, $100,000 a year, $500,000 a year, $2 million a year. Your cost of living goes up. Your car goes up. The bigger house goes up. More activities, more trips. You go from buying someone one t-shirt for their birthday to buying them basically, I don't know, three t-shirts or a jacket on top of that. You will find a way to live to that. You will start traveling to that. You will still start driving cars that live to that. Your house will grow to that. You will find a way to live to that. Problem is, though, if you do not know how to balance your debt to your income, doesn't matter if you're making that $500,000, $1 million, $2 million. If you're spending out, if you're pushing out after taxes, no savings, you think there's going to be a 401k for you, you think you're going to retire on that, you're sadly mistaken. But if you don't invest or put money aside, next thing you know, you're spending 75% of that. You think you can live off of that 25% that's left over after taxes a month? You'll never get ahead. My parents lived paycheck to paycheck because they weren't educated. They did not have careers. I never wanted that. I know people now, even with college educations, that they live paycheck to paycheck, that they got to wait for something to come in to clear. That check has to hit the bank account in order to hit the car payment, in order to pay the mortgage, in order to pay the water bill, in order to replace the septic tank. That is not knowing about money. You don't need to be a financial advisor. You don't need to be a broker. You don't need to be an accountant. You don't need to be in the finance industry. But you will and should respect money because you will never get ahead in life. Money does not make the world go round, but it does. People want to say money can't buy you love or happiness, but it does. Ben Affleck said it best in the movie Boiler Room. They say money can't buy you happiness. And he smiles and he goes, well, look at the fucking smile on my face. Then he throws his keys across the fucking table. He's driving a fucking Ferrari, a Lamborghini. Either way. Yeah, it's a movie. Hollywood romanticizes it, plays it up, right? But you should know about money. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be making millions. The key is, whatever you bring in, just make sure you're not spending more than it going out. Know how to save. Know how to put it away. Know how to invest. Know what your bills are. Have a concept of money. And if you're in a relationship, the person you're with, your wife or girlfriend or boyfriend or husband, they could be somebody who doesn't understand that and they could become another bill, debt. So be prepared for that, to have those tough conversations. Where do you see yourselves going? Where do you want to live? Do you want to stay in that starter home for the rest of your lives? Do you want your kids to go to public school? Do you want to drive that Mercedes that costs you $700 a month, but you don't need it? Or are you better off with that $99 Toyota Corolla and you can still put that other $600 away every month or put it towards something more meaningful or maybe invest it? I am around a lot of people where I grew up where they had no concept of money. There are still people that I'm around that have no concept of money. I will never show people all my cards of how much money I'm holding. There are close friends that I talk about, like a bonus that I brought in, or money that I have put aside for a house, or money that I maybe have in the market, or maybe an increase in my salary or a raise. But they never know exactly how much I'm holding. That's like a biggie fucking metaphor too, as a drug dealer. Never let them know what you're holding. Same goes for people who just have a concept of life and money and trying to get ahead. So whether you go back and learn about the bro money code, starting from scratch, or you go into grown man shit. Doesn't matter. A man with his balls should know about money. He should respect money. He should be making money. A man should be a provider. Don't give me that racist, sexist bullshit in this day and age, the soft millennial snowflake Gen Z approach. A man should be able to do that. Not saying he has to, not saying that the wife will make him, but a man should be able to provide for his family, for his wife and his kids, should be able to pay all the bills. And if she doesn't want him to, then that's fine. Between the two of you, if she's a strong, independent woman and she's making money, then the two of you should find a way to put that money together and save and get ahead in life. So I just wanted to take the time to vocalize, to verbalize a little bit of my take on money. From here and there on the podcast, like I did on T-Blog, I'll dabble back into this area. I don't know it all, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not saying you have to listen to everything I say. I promise you I will entertain you. I promised that a long time ago in every aspect of life. This right here was for the guys, keeping the legacy going, keeping the bro codes, the grown man shit, me being who I am, a manly man, coming from that hunter lineage, not the farmer. Someone who uses his fucking ball, speaks his fucking mind, fights for what he wants, works for what he wants, earns it, takes it. That's me. I'm not saying that has to be you. But I just wanted to give you that point of view from this guy, from T. Hope you take something away from this. And that's that. Where to find this guy? I'm on Instagram. Two accounts. The_T_podcast for all the T podcast related and stuff and the memes and all that shit. And T-Blog, T-B-L-A-W-G, for all the cool pictures. Take a look at those. You can see some of my worldly travels. Maybe that'll inspire you to put a little bit more extra money away. I don't know. Maybe invest a little bit. Europe's a beautiful fucking place. Twitter, at T-Blog, all one word. Email me about T. What else did you talk about back in the day on T-Blog? I never read it. Well, I want to go back. What should I read? What chapters on the bro code? What chapters on the grown man shit? What makes you think you know everything about being a man? Because I've been around for 41 fucking years and did some crazy shit. Read T-Blog, listen to the podcast. Email me and I'm going to start answering questions. I keep on promising you for months and months now I've been doing this, I will be answering listener questions. A lot of you hit me up. I appreciate it. Some of you asking some really good questions. Some of you saying some really fucked up shit. But it's entertaining and I'm putting a list together. And those podcasts where T answers the listeners will be coming. Email me, t@t-blogblawg.com. On the Facebook page, DM me, the T-Blog page. It's there. And where to find me? Of course, beyond the social media, here on iTunes, every Tuesday and Thursday, and the occasional Friday now that I've been doing that with B-Lo, in the place that started it all, tblog.com, the place that inspired today's podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. Until next time, always take it there.
Say what's on my mind at any given time of day, cause I'm a renegade. Never been afraid to holler about anything.